Diablo 4 has arrived. As the forces of hell gather, only you can stand in their way. Journey across the expansive open world of Sanctuary. Choose from 5 powerful classes, then progress them to fit your playstyle. Adventure with your friends in up to 4-player co-op with cross-play and cross-progression on all platforms. Welcome to hell. Diablo 4, available now. Rated M for mature. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
Hey guys, welcome back to Skincare Anarchy, your favorite podcast, I hope. Today I have a very, very special guest with me. I'm a huge fan of her brand and I really, really enjoy the products because they're very unique in the sense that, you know, I don't like heavy products and I don't like things that are just overpowering, you know, or things really that don't work. I mean, that's one of my main criteria, right? But I really, really love her line and I think that everything I've tried in the range has been just so phenomenal. So without further ado, I want to introduce you guys to Sarah Maxwell, who is the founder of Sarah Maxwell Beauty. Welcome to the show, Sarah. I'm so excited to be hosting you.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
No, likewise. I'm excited to have you on and I'm finally, we're finally doing this. It's been a long time in the making. So this is going to be a really fun episode for everyone listening. I can't wait to dive in, Sarah. I want to learn all about you though. I really want to learn about your career, your journey, all of the wonderful things that led up to the creation of your brand. Maybe you could walk us down memory lane to get us started.
Okay, sure. So I'll do it quickly because it kind of hops all over the world. But I'm originally from Canada and I wanted to pursue a career in fashion. So I ended up going to university in Toronto and took fashion marketing. Shortly after graduation, I moved to the UK. And my next door neighbor was a makeup artist and she was, you know, we were young, we were like 23. She was aspiring. She did have an older sister and an aunt that were quite well-known makeup artists already in London. And she said, why do you want to do fashion? You know, you should just be a makeup artist. So at 23, I thought, okay, I'll just be a makeup artist. So we both got jobs at MAC, and back in 2003, that was very prestigious to have a job on the MAC cosmetics makeup counter. So that's kind of where I started. I eventually did move back to Toronto for a short amount of time and worked on a couple beauty counters and got a makeup agency because I knew, you know, that's, you know, if you want to get the experience, you need an agency, et cetera. So I was a working artist in Toronto for a couple years and then had an opportunity to move to the US. So I kind of landed in Vegas at first, hoping that I could do some makeup there, and quickly realized there's not as much makeup there as one would hope. Because a lot of people that come in from come into Vegas for certain events and stuff travel from LA and they already have their makeup artists with them, right? So I made a decision, to decide, okay, do I want to be in New York and be doing more editorial, runway, that kind of stuff? Or do I want to be in LA and doing more, you know, red carpets, movies, that kind of stuff? And LA felt like a better fit for me. So by 2009, I was in LA. At that time, I found this place on Melrose and it was called Makeup Mandy, and it both specialized in makeup and lash extensions. And earlier on in my time in LA, I had the opportunity to train with this brand on lash extensions, and nobody was doing them at the time. So I went ahead and got that training and thought, you know, I need to get my speed up. I need to get lashes and makeup. And then my career kind of took off from there. I started getting really great clients. I found out about lash lifting and kind of the rest is history.
Yeah. No, I mean, you have some like literal iconic products. I mean, it's just mind blowing because, yeah, I mean, it's true though. I mean, for everyone listening, I don't know how familiar you guys are, but I mean, Sarah is literally the queen of lashes and brows. I mean, literally, I mean, her entire range is geared towards real delivery of results. I mean, you know, her brow masks are iconic. You know, if any of you out there suffer from, you know, getting that perfect lift to your eyebrows and getting them to look the way you want them to look. I mean, look no further. I mean, you have to buy her stuff. I mean, you're known for this amazing, amazing area of beauty. And I want to applaud you for that, because that is such an important, you know, aesthetic, like, you know, part of the aesthetics of what we want as women in our everyday routine, right? Like, in terms of like, if my lashes or my eyebrows look all janky, like, I do not feel confident. I'm going to be honest with you. Like, I feel terrible that day, you know? And so it's huge. And I know that, you know, with social media taking over and the way it's been, everyone has been talking about things like, you know, lash growth serums and, you know, brow growth and brow this and brow that. I mean, we had the whole, you know, mascara gate thing happen, right? And I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, why do you guys keep gravitating towards things that are just absolutely not proven to work? You know what I mean? So I want to talk about your products. I really want to do a deep dive because, like I said, you have the best lash growth serum out there on the market.
Oh, thank you.
The serum is like so applauded on Amazon. It is so applauded in the industry, and rightfully so. So I would love to learn about, you know, your process and what really led you to create such a gorgeous line and such an efficacious line, more importantly.
Well, when I started into the lash extension world and lash lifting world, not really that many people were working kind of in that genre. So back, I remember I was pregnant and my daughter is 10 now. I was at a makeup show and I came across my first ever growth serum. Like, I hadn't heard of it before. I don't think it existed. And, I enjoyed that serum. But I did notice, and I started selling it to my clients, but I did notice it was very harsh. And there was like kind of a downside to using that serum, right? So yes, it gave you kind of longer lashes. Well, it did give you longer lashes, but there was a redness, there was discoloration, all those things that, you know, yes, you have great lashes, but then you have redness around the eye or irritation. It's kind of pointless. So as my career kept going, I thought, you know, like, I know what these women want. Actively, this in 2023, I still see 150 women throughout the year. So I'm not seeing them every month, but actively I have a rotation of 150 women that I get to talk to every day for, you know, 45 minutes to an hour about the things that they've seen, the questions they have, and all those types of things. So I had a really good base on how I planned my products out and what people were asking me for and what the downside were to things that were on the market that they liked and they wanted to use, but they were causing a side effect, or they were worried about some of the ingredients. So, or they didn't like the applicator. So that's kind of how I started the brand, with that kind of like, you know, base telling me like what they liked and didn't like.
Right. No, it makes sense. And, you know, I think that one of the most important things is that experience is queen. And nobody wants to talk about that anymore because we have such a plethora of products, right, in the industry. I mean, I'm sure you know better than I do. You've been here, you're the professional. And I really, really wonder to myself sometimes where it's like, you know, when it comes to certain things, why can't we as a society, as a culture, as an industry say, this is what works? And this has been used by true professionals who, like you just mentioned, have seen countless number of clients that have told them and given them feedback that their techniques are working. You know what I mean? And just kind of take your word for it and go with that. You know, we every day, I kid you not, Sarah, there's a brand that pitches me that says, I've got an eyelash, you know, growth serum. And I'm like, cool for you, but I've got mine. You know what I mean? Like, I'm good.
Well,
like,
I have noticed, you know, like, especially because, you know, I'm aware of what's going on more so than I've ever noticed. And I've been in this, you know, field or, you know, certain niche since 2009. I was one of the first people to in LA to do lash extensions. Now more than ever, almost every brand across the board is producing some sort of growth serum, which is great. I say more the merrier, and they end up getting weeded out in the long run anyway. But my personal opinion, and it mirrors yours, is that like I still work with the eye area all day long, every day. I'm not just like up in some castle creating products and thinking, I hope people like them, right? So I have always toyed with the idea, now that I have the brand, do I still want to see clients? And every single time the answer is yes, because I need to see my clients for this brand to make sense. You know, some people will come out as an expert and then, you know, have that platform, create a brand, and then disappear for their clientele. And I often wonder, like, are you losing your touch, right? Are you losing what made your brand great to begin with? Because my clients are like everything to me. And if I stop seeing them and I stop hanging out with them and having beauty conversations, then it doesn't help my brand. So I like to stay, you know, kind of in both sides of it.
Right. And I love that. To me, as a consumer, that shows me that you're a true professional, because at the end of the day, you know, to have a skill set is one thing, but then to continue honing in on that skill set and then also perfecting it, you know, expanding on it, learning more and more as we learn more in science, you know what I mean? Like those kind of things, like that is so, like, such a hallmark of true professionals. And I feel as if there's a lot of brands out there. No shade to any of them. I am a huge believer in what you said, Sarah, which is, you know, the more the merrier, that's fine. But I do believe in the power of, you know, like finding what works, true curation, right? And so that's where I come in as a consumer. And I wonder to myself, like, why is it that certain things blow up versus others that have been around and been proven to work, right? So like that's really where my comment came in earlier, was that this idea of, you know, your serum is wonderful. I've been using it, by the way, since you sent it to me. My lashes have grown. I've noticed a difference. I actually just made a TikTok video the other day about, I don't know, it was something random, but I was like literally looking at my eyelashes. I'm like, oh my gosh, like they look amazing. And I have these like short, stunted little, you know what I mean? Like straight eyelashes. So like, it was like an obvious effect. I was like, this is phenomenal, you know? So I just want to say, you know, just for our audience's sake, is that, you know, you guys, you know, really do your homework sometimes, because I mean, I know there's a lot of marketing hype out there, but sometimes the brands that you Google, and you, if you type in like, what is like one of the best eyelash serums, you know, from, you know, such and such year or whatever you type in, you're going to find a lot of really cool brands. And I promise you, Sarah's brand is going to pop up, because I did it. You know what I mean? I tried doing it. It popped right up. So I think that, you know, it's important to get that word out to listeners, is my point, you know, to do that homework and to do a deeper dive. Now, Sarah, I want to ask you, I know that there is a lot of science behind what you do, because, you know, obviously, as we know, lashes grow based off of certain, you know, principles in science that have to do with follicles and the growth of hair and all of that stuff. So as you were training and perfecting your craft, were there like classes you took, or maybe like your own homework that you had to do to really understand things before you created your serum or your products? Or how did that really happen for you in terms of the R&D side?
It's kind of like a back and forth. So it's finding like good labs to partner with, yeah, and driving them crazy basically with all my questions, like constant questions, like going to the lab, going to my manufacturer, asking the right questions. You know, I'd read a lot of white papers or a lot of, you know, they're not really like clinical trials, because sometimes there's, you know, I don't want to use the word clinical trial because people get weird about that, but, you know, a lot of white papers about different products and how they function and what they do. I do a lot of research on each individual ingredient. I always look at the environmental working group to see what they're saying. I read a lot of different people's opinions, and I form my own, you know, with, I guess, with what I feel and what I see. And then I do take classes. A part of the brand that we haven't dived into just yet is our fragrance and perfume, which we can get to. But for example, I'm going to, perfume school in the south of France in September. So not only will I learn about fragrance there, but I will learn about fragrancing cosmetic products. So whether you're putting natural fragrance in, you know, soaps, face creams, body oils, whatever else, that is part of the program. And then actually, funny you asked, just last night, I was looking at signing up for a UCLA extension class on cosmetic science. So I've always been interested in cosmetic science. I for a moment back in like 2009 was about to move back to the UK and go to school full time for cosmetic science. So it's always kind of been like a passion, hobby, whatever you want to say. So I'm always reading and I'm curious about science and I'm curious about the function of each ingredient. As another extension of the brand, we train. So I created a masterclass for lash lift artists, which is what we professionally focus on the most. I wrote a 50-page curriculum that goes along with that class. And what the feedback that I get the most is that I've dived into the science so deeply compared to other classes that these girls have taken, and that I break down the exact function of every single ingredient and what it does and why it does it. That's what makes our training stand out. So I do that with the consumer facing products as well. Because I just, you know what, like, honestly, I don't want to be caught with my pants down, like not knowing something is honestly the truth why I do it, you know, because there's so many people are so educated now, which is great. And they'll ask you questions about a specific ingredient, like a colorant or a nanoparticle. And like, you don't want to not know the answer. So I think that's why, I take it kind of so seriously, because I want to make sure that I'm not like basically full of crap.
Right. No, I hear you. And I love how candid you are, by the way. I love that. I can promise you though, as one of your fans, that you are not full of crap. You know, you are truly, truly an expert. And I love how honest you are. So thank you for that. I mean, honestly, in this industry, there's a lot of people that are kind of full of crap. So, you know, it's good to preface things anyways. You know, but I want to say that I love that you have this professional side in terms of your offerings, because I think that right now, especially, we see a lot of young professionals that are going into cosmeceuticals. You know, they're going into cosmetic just training, right? Overall. And especially with the, like I said, the lash and the brow game has changed so much, because I remember even me, you know, being younger and growing up, I remember there were no dedicated spas or like areas to go to that were just for lashes or just for brows. It was like part of the experience. You know, I went to Aveda. I would go to Aveda and say, you know, wax my brows, and it always turned out terrible. You know, like it was like a terrible experience for me. And I remember thinking even at that time, I was like, why are there not more like, you know, dedicated sources to this, right? It was like almost like daunting, like especially as an Indian woman, like my brow shape is very different, right, than a Caucasian woman. So it was like they would always wax me in this same like weird spherical way, right? And I looked like I was coming straight out of the 20s flapper era, you know, immediately, like every time. And it was like there was not enough education. So that's why I really appreciate that you do take the time to educate professionals, because I really, really believe in the power of education and knowledge. And I think that we need more of that. So that's really, really cool that you have that. Now, I want to ask you about the perfume stuff though, because that's really intriguing. And I actually wanted to say to you on air that your candles are like literally like some of my favorite candles I've ever tried, in terms of like how they burn, how the whole experience is, how they're not overpowering, the scents are beautiful. So I really want to learn more about this, you know, this leg of your brand, and what you're really envisioning, you know, for the scents, and if you could give us like a sneak peek, if possible.
Yeah. And actually, we just sent you the launch yesterday of the new packaging for the scents. So it's on its way.
Thank you. That's awesome.
Of course. It kind of, some people are, when we talk to certain people, they're like, why fragrance, right? And it is obviously an interesting question. This is kind of how it unfolded. I've always been very curious about fragrance. I've always found fragrance extremely interesting. Long before I was even doing like lashes or even in LA, I just found the power of it, you know, the nostalgia or like the scent memory that you can get from just smelling something so powerful, right? And so right. I always just had a curiosity about it. So when I was still living in Toronto, I came across this oil and I was intrigued by it and I started wearing it. And everyone would ask me, what are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? I was like, oh my God, like this is my scent, you know, like I have to like make sure that I always can find this oil. So I did some research and found out like where this oil was from. So I started ordering it in like vats, like so that I had it at all times, right? So that I never could be without this oil. They have they had other oils as well. So I was curious about them. So I started mixing and blending little things for myself. And when I started seeing private clients more readily, they would be like, can you please make me a bottle of that? It smells so good. Can you please just do it? So finally, back in, gosh, I don't know, 2016, 2017, I ordered like 12 glass bottles that I thought were decent enough and made 12 perfumes in my kitchen. And my clients were like, you have to sell it to us. So I figured out a price point. Like, this was before I had a line at all. And they sold out like that week. Everybody wanted it and they kept asking for more. So I just thought, you know what, this is interesting. Like, it's something that I guess I'm good at, you know, blending oils. So people would ask me for different types. Like my little brother, whose birthday it happens to be today, said, will you make me a scent that smells kind of like this? And so he showed me something that he liked and I tried it and it worked and it turned into Live 4. So it just kind of was like this progression of people asking me about fragrance. And I suppose like being in my studio or in people's homes, they would smell it on me. And yeah, then they would ask me for it and then they would wear it and somebody would ask them for it. And it kind of just, honestly, that's how it started.
I love that.
So,
where did you find that oil? Where did you discover that oil from? Was it just
It was like a random store in Toronto. And then I figured out who the manufacturer or the lab of the oil was. And funny enough, it's an Indian
family. I knew it. Yeah. I was going to ask you.
Yeah. That's been doing it for 160 years or something crazy like that. And so the majority of my, like originally that's where most of my oils are from. And then I blend them. I actually blend them in house. I still blend them myself because we've tried over the years to blend them in bigger vats and I was never happy with it. So I just choose to still blend them myself.
I love that. There's a personal touch to it. That's so important. Like, I feel like with perfumery, especially like, you know, now that like, even like, you know, the podcast, we're expanding into the fragrance realm. So, you know, we're going to have to do definitely a Fragrance Friday one as well, you know, an episode with you, because honestly, like the fragrance realm to me is so interesting because of exactly what you said, which is this idea of like, you know, there is this underlying need for customization and just personalization from the angle of the founder and the creator, you know, of the line. Because at the end of the day, if you just leave it up to, okay, make me a fragrance line, you're going to get the most generic fragrances. You know what I mean? You're going to get like the most like generic, like, okay, oud, or like very gourmand, or very like whatever, right? They're just going to just make you a candy and then, you know, clean and that. So I love that you're so involved. And that's really, really, for me, a huge plus, you know, as a consumer, like hearing that, you know, if I were to just stumble upon this podcast, and I like heard that, it would make me gravitate towards, you know, you and your scent line and all of that. So I like that. I like that a lot that you're doing that.
Yeah. It's a little bit more curious, right? And then the candles, basically we wanted to do a candle that was more feminine and more masculine. Our more masculine scent is Live 4 and our most feminine would be like Live 1. So we decided to do a similar, and I learned a lot during that process. Like, you can't just take perfumed oil and pour it into some wax and have a candle. Like, even though, trust me, we have tried. So I found a really great local candle maker. I'm in like the Malibu area and I worked with him and drove him crazy. And then we finally came up with the two scents. And I think they, for the most part, they encompass like what Live 1 feels like as a perfume. And it encompasses what like Live 4 feels like as a perfume.
I love that.
And we'll probably expand candles. We've thought about, you know, maybe doing one for holiday or something like that. So there's definitely like more candles in the works. But for now, we're happy with the two that we have. Who knows after perfume school where what will happen?
Right. No, I mean, I love it. And that's a great start. And that's a really great place to begin. You know, we all have to start somewhere. And I love that you're going to school for it, even though that you're, you know, you're so experienced in the industry. I mean, you're actually going to school for this and you're actually doing it the right way. I love that. And I, you know, I'm a huge believer in, like I said, in education and knowledge. And we're lifelong learners. You know, the people who are the most successful that I've ever met in my life are the ones that are not scared to go back to school or to go back to training. You know, they're the ones that are always wanting more, you know, in terms of gaining knowledge, gaining understanding. So, you know, truly kudos and hats off to you for that. That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now, I want to ask you, Sarah, because I really think that this is a very, very, you know, from a scientific standpoint, right, it's for me very important to address this. And that is this idea of there's so many brands, like we said, you know, and I'm going to circle back to your lash products because this is something I've noticed about yours that are so unique is that they're so gentle and they're so like good for people who have sensitive eyes like myself. Like I have very, very sensitive eyes. So like, I kid you not, like, I want to tell you a story. Like there was this one time, I don't even remember. Well, I do remember, but I don't want to say the name of the brand, but I tried their lash growth serum and my eyes, Sarah, they turned into little golf balls. Like, I kid you not. Like, it just, like, they puffed up. They were terrible. It was the worst experience. It left me, like, traumatized. You know what I mean? And, like, I just didn't know, like, why that happened. And so, like, I love the fact that your serum is, like, so gentle. And so I want to ask you, like, you know, when you were crafting your lash products, like, what was the, you know, what were some ingredients, if you could tell us, or anything that you could tell us that you wanted to leave out to really avoid this sensitivity issue for a lot of people? Because I know that it's a common problem.
Yeah, it is. I mean, here's the thing. I think like as a society, we always want like more, right? So you get a little growth, you get a little growth, and then you want more, and then you want more. So some brands will push the envelope in terms of what ingredients they're choosing to use. There's a lot of buzz around one particular ingredient that's been found in some growth serums that they're now seen as not great for us, right? So I've always been of the mindset that less is more. It's just like how my artistry has always been. A lot of the women that I originally started doing makeup for in LA always wanted a very supernatural look, right? For red carpet or events, outings, whatever else. And I've always had a light touch. I've also had a light touch in my lash extensions. So I'm lucky to be able to do a lot of celebrity lash extensions, and people will be surprised to even know that person has lash extensions because I choose to keep it very subtle. I don't prescribe to these like crazy lashes that like take over your face. And when somebody's trying to have a conversation with you, the only thing they can see is your lashes or like the brows are like too much. Right. So I've always been of the mindset is less is more. I, in my everyday life, don't like to wear a lot of makeup. So I wanted products that I could use like our mascara or our keratin conditioning treatment that I could put on and accentuate my lashes and brows, but I don't have to then, you know, complement that with a face full of makeup. Like I have mascara on today, but just my tinted moisturizer because like I'm working from home today. So I don't want to be in a full face of makeup, but I want to have a mascara that can complement that. So those were kind of my mindsets. And also I just think that there are things that work that don't have to harm us, right? So you don't see the, you know, these like crazy wild lashes in week one, but you do see them in week three. And it's something that you say, oh, I can maintain this because it's not turning my eyeballs into golf, right? Like, so I thought that was important, right? So I'm of the mindset that like consistency is good. Patience is good. I'm not of this like give it to me now mentality. Like I want it now. I want it fast. I don't operate like that. You know, good things come to those that wait. So that kind of is how the product line feels to me. Not only because I just prefer a more natural look. My clientele wants to, you know, accentuate their own personal beauty, not, you know, mask it, because I think all these like big, bold things tend to end up masking and aging, where subtle things accentuate your natural beauty. And I think that that was important to me when I created a product line too.
I love that. And I love, by the way, what you said about the mascara, because you are so on point. Oh my gosh. Like, I remember, like, even like 10 years ago, and not even 10, like 5 to 10 years ago, there were no mascaras out that I knew of that were just like every day, you know, little bit, just a little hint of color, a little bit of lift, nothing crazy. You're not feeling all cracky. You know, your eyelashes are not cracking and, you know, whatever, flaking or whatever you want to call it. It was just like this little way of just making them look more awake, you know, making your eyes look more like open and ready for the day. I mean, that was such a, like, it was a niche that I, and white space that I just didn't understand why we weren't able to fill it. So I absolutely, I'm a huge fan of the mascara, by the way, as well. I use it because I'm not a makeup girl. You know, I love makeup. Don't get me wrong. I love makeup. Love it. Love playing with it. But I, on my everyday and my everyday routine, day to day, going to the hospital, you know what I mean? I can't do that. You know, I can't walk in into a patient room with like a full beat. I just can't do that. They're going to look at me like, this is my surgeon. No, I'm out. Peace. Like, no, like that's not gonna, it's not gonna work. So I need, like, as a consumer, like something like this, because, you know, we want to be able to use mascara and we want to be able to have the benefits of it, but not that exaggerated look, not that full beat look. And that's so important, like, because right now every time I see a mascara, it's like, get the longest lashes you've ever had in your life and the darkest and the most extreme. And I'm like, okay, no, that's not for me, you know. Like, so
I think it's just the, sorry to cut you off, but I think that this, like, it's Instagram is really what it is, right? I used to teach at the Makeup Designery, which is a makeup school in both LA and New York. And I would go into my beauty 101 class, and specifically eyebrows. And this was when those huge blocked eyebrows were so big on Instagram. And all these 18-year-old girls would look at me and be like, we want to learn how to do that eyebrow. And I'm like, why? Like, you need to learn, like, the art of subtlety, because I promise you, being subtle is much more difficult than, like, just, you know, chalk a block, like, brow on the face. And I would say to them, do you want to work in the industry? Because here's the thing, if you're going to go to a movie set and that's what you plan to do with your career, and you put that brow on a Jennifer Aniston, they're going to kick you off set. And so that's only brow you know how to do, there's a problem. And I think it was just like, I used to say to them, just because you see it over and over on Instagram doesn't mean it's pretty.
Exactly. 100%.
So, you know what I mean? Like, it's just because you're bombarded with this particular look, effect, you know, dramatization, like whatever you want to call it, does not mean that that's pretty or nice or healthy or good, right? So, because it's just a user generated thing. It's not everyone is an expert, or not everyone has years in the industry. So they would look at me like blank stared even after that, and still just want me to teach them how to do that brow. But at least I tried, right? At least I, like,
no, of course. No, you did try, and I applaud you for trying, because honestly, I couldn't agree with you more. I hated that look. And I even now, you know, I mean, no hate, I really believe in the power of creativity and self-expression. You know, of course, all of us do as artists and people, and just, you know, anyone, right? We all believe in that. But at the end of the day, like, not everything is for everyone. And at the end of the day, you do, like you said, have to learn that art of subtlety, because at the end, you know, most of the time, the women, especially as we age, especially as we mature, we're looking for that, you know, it has to be me, but it just has to be enhanced. It has to be beautiful, you know, natural, but beautiful. Like, and that's really what I, you know, ask any woman over the age of 35, she's going to tell you, no, I don't want a block brow. You know, like, I'm not looking for that. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, okay, when you're 19, 18 years old, yeah, okay, you're going to a party, you're doing whatever you're doing, that's cool, whatever. But that's not the majority of the public. And also, what you said, Sarah, has been echoed time and time again by some of the other pro artists I've had on the show, you know, like yourself. And everyone has had the same, you know, like, message to say, which is just, you have to learn. You have to learn, you know, detail-oriented techniques, you know, things that are very, very heavy on that, you know, like the skill aspect, right? Where it's like, you got to know your customer. You got to know how to make anyone that comes into your studio beautiful and walk out looking like they feel more elevated, they feel better about themselves, they like what they look like, you know, those kind of things. So I completely understand where you're coming from. And, you know, especially I'm sure as an educator, you deal with this all the time in terms of seeing, you know, people doing like just a complete, like, you know, either like extreme on one side or extreme on the other. You're right. So
yes.
Yeah. No, I want to ask you, and this is a little bit of a philosophical question, if you don't mind, I really want to get your take on this because, you know, since we are talking about this honing in on your skills, honing in on, you know, how to become a universally, you know, established artist, like, you know, what is some of your advice outside of the realm of, you know, what you already shared with us, which, you know, for young professionals out there, because right now, you know, I don't know what the state is of cosmetic institutions, like in terms of the education side, but I'm just curious, like who is teaching people? And like, you know, if there is a young professional out there that's looking for the kind of teaching you're describing, or like, you know, that more like 360 approach to their training, like what is your advice in terms of finding an institution, finding a person that can teach you, like if you can offer any words of wisdom for them?
That's a great question. I think obviously starting with some good research, right? Finding a school that is, you know, like-minded to how you see yourself in the future as an artist. I think that I do see, especially in the lash world, a lot of people teaching a quote-unquote masterclass. And then I look just purely out of curiosity, and they've been doing lashes for 2 years, or a makeup artist that only does makeup on their own face and they're teaching you a class, but they've never done makeup on anyone else, right? So they've only done their own face. I find those things curious because here's the thing is I've been asked over the years to teach or to create a brand early on in my career. And my thought process is I'm not ready yet. I'm not there yet. Right. So if we're like, I see some, you know, makeup artists, you know, come out of nowhere, which is great. And they launch their career and they start working with all these celebrities. They launch a brand, they do a masterclass, and then they're like 25. And I'm like, so now what? Right. So I was always of the mindset, like to kind of, what is the rush? Right. So I'm in my 40s now and I only have felt the desire to teach or felt that I had enough experience to present it to other people now. Yeah. I don't think at 25, I would have been a great teacher. I don't think I had enough learning or life experience to be able to, in all good confidence and with like a clear conscience, teach people. I just don't think I am that person. So I've always been of the mindset, like, see what's been around for a long time, like back to the makeup designery, not that I'm affiliated with them all at all anymore, but I decided to teach there because they've been around forever, you know, and they've kind of seen it all. They've seen all the trends. They've seen the ebbs and flows of the makeup industry. They've seen all these things, or like you said, like an Aveda, they've been around forever, right? The hope is that they're still growing and not stuck in their old ways. So that's where the research part comes in. But I just think because it's the hot new thing, or it's the hot new person on the scene, or they've put, you know, X amount of dollars behind like their sponsored posts and you're bombarded with them. So it must be good. Those things are curious to me. So I personally, like the perfume school I chose to go to is the oldest perfume school in the world. Yeah. So that was my thought process. Well, they must be doing something right. So I just think that that's kind of my philosophy. If somebody is new to the industry and looking, you know, it's a couple of things. It's your research, it's your aesthetic, and it's seeing somebody that's actually, you know, like lasted the test of time. Like I've been doing lashes and makeup in LA, which is a very competitive area, since 2009 successfully. So I must know something, right? Whether it's business or artistry, there's got to be something that I'm doing good at, Whereas if it's somebody that has been around for a year, I have a question mark about their career because I just don't know.
Right. Right. No, that makes sense. And I love that you went to the oldest school. That's really cool. I find that really cool. I mean, you went to the true masters. I mean, I that's really, really good advice. And I think that, you know, nowadays we're so enveloped in this world of social media where I literally cringe. I swear, Sarah, every time I go on to TikTok, I cringe because I see people who are just self-proclaimed, you know, like gurus of like how to do your makeup or how to train people on how to do their makeup. And I always sit there and wonder, well, why don't you just go to someone who really knows what they're doing and go attend something like, for example, your masterclass or your, you know, like the schools that you mentioned, or, you know, why don't you guys promote that? You know, why aren't we seeing more of that? It's great to be a content creator. It's great to be on social media, but at the end of the day, proper education is proper education. So I think that it's really important to, you know, really incorporate that and to value that, right? I mean, that's at the end of the day, you're never going to learn about anything new if you don't know the history of what already exists. So we're gonna find that.
Yeah, I have a preteen, so she's almost 11, and you know, TikTok addict, and beauty is her favorite. And sometimes the stuff she shows me, I'm like that emoji with like the brain exploding, like at all times.
Yeah,
like the question. And listen, they're coming to her. From her to me very innocently, but I'll be like, that's crazy. Like, I just try never to go on TikTok. That's my,
yeah, oh my gosh, I need to follow your advice. No. Every time I go on there, I'm like either enraged or I walk away just frustrated. So yeah, I hear you. And by the way, huge shout out to, you know, your team, because hey, you know, the world's big, and I wish her all the success in the world. So I'm glad that she's trying. That's what matters. Right. No, I want to actually round up the interview, Sarah, and I want to get your, you know, just your feedback and everything that you've learned and, you know, this amazing time that you've been in this industry, you know, as far as not only advice, but just feedback, right? And like, as far as like, where do you think this industry is headed? Like, where do you see it headed as a professional? You know, where are we lacking or what are we thriving at? You know, those kind of things.
I think that the fact that we in general, as like a society, humans, whatever, are trying to be healthier or living longer and all those type of things that we've seen trending, right? For the most part, yeah. We all are living longer and we want to feel good, right? Because mindset, you always feel younger than maybe what the outer shell looks like. So I think we're always going to be trending on wanting to keep our outer shell feeling as youthful as our inner shell. So I think, or our inner self, sorry. So I think that, you know, that pursuit for like youth is always going to be trending, right? There's always going to be new developments, new science, whatever else. One thing that I don't super love, and again, it's like back to my daughter, and it's probably I only see it because I have a preteen, is like, yeah, these young girls that are like 10, literally wanting to wear like boatloads of makeup, right? Like, yeah. I love for them to be more educated in like taking care of their beautiful skin, because you are never going to have that skin again, right? So, and showcasing that. So those are two, you know, opposite ends of the pole, in terms of where one thing I'd like to see go. And another thing that I find interesting and exciting, like, I'm a woman in my early 40s and I don't feel old, nor am I, but I want to continue to feel good on the outside too, right? So I think that that's kind of where beauty is going to go. And I just think people are sick of, especially in America, being like bombarded with chemicals that we don't need compared to what we see in other countries, or just those type of things that are being, that can be easily eliminated so that we all just feel better too.
Right.
So I kind of see it going that way.
I love that. I love that. And I agree with you. I think that's a valid, you know, that's a valid analysis, because yeah, I've definitely noticed it too. And especially with the young ladies that are, you know, just too young for makeup, in my opinion. That's just my opinion. You know, I agree with you in the sense of like, I think there's a lot of value in expressing yourself. But yeah, I mean, if you're 10 years old, you don't need makeup. you got beautiful skin.
Yeah, I agree. And I love for my daughter to express herself. Like, I love that she's into makeup and I love that we have that like bond together, but I don't feel it like when she wakes up and she's like, oh, I need a concealer for my dark circles this morning before I go to fifth grade. I'm like, no, like that is not what we're doing. You know what I mean? So, but if mom, on the weekend, but on the weekend, if she wants me to like Diamante her whole face, like in Swarovski crystals, because it's fun and we take a picture, like, let's do that. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like that's creative expression. That's fun. That's something that like gets our brains moving. But like, I don't want makeup to become like a negative thing. Right. So it's like, I don't like this about myself. So I need to cover it up. Like that is not where I would like to see the beauty industry going.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I completely echo everything that you've said. And I think you're truly, truly a master, in this industry. And I can't thank you enough for your wisdom and for your willingness to come and educate us, because, you know, we need more trailblazers like yourself. We need more visionaries such as yourself, because we are in a very cluttered environment right now in the beauty industry. And I think that decluttering it starts by finding the true experts such as yourself. So thank you so much, Sarah, for this wonderful interview, for all of your insights and your beautiful products. Oh my gosh. I cannot rave enough about them. Everyone listening, if you are, you know, looking for something that is for the lashes, for the eyebrows, for anything, right, in that area, and you want something that works and it's not going to overwhelm you, I highly suggest you check out the brand. You can go to SarahMaxwellBeauty.com. Everything is right there, you know, and it's, I would really actually recommend that you buy the trio, because that really is where you're going to get the full experience as far as the eyelashes and the eyebrows, and then, you know, all of that, that whole area, right? So you're going to really experience like the mascara, you're going to experience the growth serum, you're going to experience the keratin serum, you know, so it's going to be a really, really nice holistic experience for you. I've actually personally enjoyed it very much. All three products are like in my just arsenal for every single day use. So I am a huge fan and I really, really recommend them. So, and also I will be tagging everything, including the products, in the concept art for this episode on Instagram. So make sure you guys are checking out our Instagram posts for Sarah's episode, because, you know, everything will be tagged right there. And I don't know, Sarah, if you're on Shop My Shelf or not, but if you are, I'm going to put your products on Shop My Shelf as well.
Yeah, we are on My Shelf. I was actually the first ever like lash person to be on Shop. Yeah, okay, we came across them early on in their story. So yeah, I'm a big fan of Shop My Shelf.
Awesome. Well, then everyone listening, you're gonna see the shelf in our, you know, Shop My Shelf library, and I really encourage you to check it out. And also, I believe you can find Sarah's products on Amazon as well. So if you prefer Amazon, you can definitely get them on Amazon as well. So like I said, I will link everything, but I really recommend you go to the website, SarahMaxwellBeauty.com, check out the brand, read about it, learn about it, look at the testimonials. They are phenomenal. I mean, there's literally a testimonial of one of her customers that has like a part missing in their eyelashes and it grew back. Like, that's insane to me. It's so cool. Like, you know, just to see that testimonial. So I really, really recommend it. And, you know, Sarah, again, thank you so much. You're such a delight to speak to. And I can't wait to bring you back for the Fragrance Friday special. I'm so excited about that.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you. And for everyone else, I will be back next time. Thank you.